Saman chopped this off by clearing his throat again. "How long will it take for us to get from here to Orb 4?" Jessery asked. I think he was the only one capable of speech. Leo and Arcibald were gobsmacked.
"We should leave as soon as convenient," Jules replied. "An advance party is already there."
"Everything killers are already in Orb 4. Nothing can be done about it." We began wrapping up our food, repacking our hampers.
"How many Orth interpreters are there?"
Arcibald asked. "Do we get to hang out with you?"
"With my level of skill, there is only I."
"I'm about to become extremely busy. I won't be able to talk to you after this."
"What kind of people make up the Arbran delegation?"
Leo asked. "Who's got his finger on the everything killer's trigger?"
"Quite a funny mix, if you ask me. Leaders of arcs, entertainers, captains of commerce, philanthropists such as Magnith Forrell, Avout, Eta, citizens, including a couple well known to you."
This was directed at me.
"You're kidding,"
I said, momentarily forgetting about all of the grim subtext.
"Cordon Yule?"
He nodded.
"Because of their role during the visitation of Orithena, watched by so many on the Spili that you, Saman, put on the reticulum, it was seen as fitting that they come here, as representatives of the people."
"The politicians are pimping them to the mass media."
"Understood," said Leo. "But among all of those pop singers and witch doctors, there must be at least some actual representatives of the secular power."
"Four of the military, who strike me as honorable."
"Not the ones who will trigger the EKs."
10 of the government, including our old friend, Madam Secretary."
"Those Forrells really get around," I couldn't help saying. Saman raised an eyebrow at me. Jules went on to rattle off a list of the names and titles of the secular power contingent, going out of his way to identify some of them as mere aides.
"And finally, our old friend, Emon Beldo, to whom, I sense, there is more than meets the eye."
"He's the one." Whatever praxis would be used to trigger the EKs, it would be advanced, possibly nothing more than a prototype. It would have to be disguised as something innocuous. They would need someone like Emon to operate it, and he would take his orders from, presumably, the highest-ranking Pandrandrum in the delegation. Not Ignatha Forrell. She was here on lineage business, of that I had no doubt. Whatever her nominal title and brief might be in the secular power, she and her cousin, or whatever he was, Magnith, had not come all this way to follow the whims of whatever Pandrandrum happened to have most lately gained the upper hand in the infinite clown fight that was secular politics. Did the Forrells know about Fra Jad? Were they working with him? Had they framed a plan together during our stay at Elkhazg? There was so much to think about that my mind shut off, and all I did for the better part of the next half hour was take in new sensations. I had turned into Artisan Flex Spielicaptor, all eyes, no brain. With my eagle res, my steady hand, and my dynazoom, I dumbly watched and recorded our discharge from the hospital. Paperwork, it seemed, was one of those protic attractors that remained common and unchanged across all cosmi. We were given over into the care of a squad of 5 nose-tube-wearing Troans in the same get-ups as the goons who had assaulted me and Jad in my dream, hallucination or alternate polycosmic incarnation. Leo ogled their weapons, which tended toward sticks, aerosol cans, and electrical devices. Apparently high-energy projectiles were frowned on in a pressurized environment. They gave us a good looking over in return, paying special attention to Leo. They'd been doing research on who was who, and some of the Valor mystique had rubbed off on him. 2 of the soldiers and Jules went ahead of us. 3 followed. We crossed a gangplank into someone's garden, and I looked through an open window, from arm's length away, at a Lateran man washing dishes. He ignored me. From there we crossed into a school playground. The kids stopped playing for a few moments and watched us go by. Some said hello. We smiled, bowed, and returned the greeting. This went over well. From there we crossed to a houseboat where a couple of women were transplanting vegetables. And so it went. The community did not waste space on streets. Their transportation system was a network of rights of way thrown over the roofs and terraces of the houseboats. Anyone could walk anywhere, and a social convention dictated that people simply ignore each other. Heavy goods were moved around on skinny, deep-draft gondolas, maneuvering through narrow leads of open water, whose existence came as a surprise because they tunneled under flexible bowers and so, from the hospital terrace, had looked only like dark green veins and arteries ramifying through the town. In a few minutes, we came to a boat that served as the terminal of the cable chair system. We rowed up to the hole in the sky, two by two, each Arbran accompanied by a Troan soldier, until all had collected in the portal that joined 10 to 11. The wind was blowing in our faces strongly enough to sting our eyes and whip our bolts around.